Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. Welcome back to Create the Movement podcast. This is Brad Post, your host, and I'm excited to be speaking today to a new friend of mine, Taylor Toss, down in Dallas. He's with Velo IT. Their website's velomethod.com. Taylor, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brad. I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, I'm excited to hear your story. You've been doing this for a while now. You said you've gone through some changes in the past 2 years, and yep. It looks like you guys are just growing and growing, and have had some great growth over the past. So, Taylor, if you could, just share a little bit about your business and how you got started.
Yeah, sure, Brad. No problem. Love to. Yeah, you're talking about my favorite topic, so this is an easy one.
Right.
I started the company about 11 years ago now, and at the time I was a senior in high school.
And, oh wow. Okay.
I started the company. I was a high school football player. I had a mild injury, and unfortunately though, it took me off the field. And I had to do something. And so I had a unique opportunity at the high school I was at to start my company at that time. And I had a couple of good friends that are still great friends of mine, come beside me, and they were my first couple of employees. And we had a few accounts right off the bat that we were able to get. And, fast forward, I've had mentors over time, and I've had, various different ups and downs as any entrepreneur does. But it's been a great journey, right? And we've had a lot of fun doing it and growing it and being involved in the managed IT services space. 11 years ago, there are tons of managed IT services companies in the space now, and so we've seen it really evolve. And consequently, we have been able to create a very, very mature managed IT services offering that our clients get to enjoy. Coming up through this through high school, I managed the company and continued to grow it. I look back now and I realize that, it was still really just a hobby when I was in college. Maybe we did $500,000 in revenues or something, and we were busy, we were working, and for a college kid, making money and, it didn't take much for me to live back then. And, once I graduated college, I decided to, full steam ahead on it. And it's been, we grew it real rapidly for my first 2 or 3 years right out of college, went from, like I said, a hobby to, what in a very short period of time, in about 24 months, was a multi-million-dollar company. And we've continued to grow it since then, all the while really refining exactly what we do and staying focused on what our core competencies are. So as a managed IT services company, I think a lot of people, IT services, what is that? What even is managed IT services? And so, we really focused in on basically being the outsourced IT department, if you will, for companies that tend to have anywhere from 10 to maybe 200 or 300 employees. And that's our sweet spot. That's where we focus, and that's what we go after. And we have a very successful group of clients that are in that realm, and a program that we've built that provides tremendous results to those clients. And so, it's been a fun 11 years, but still today I look at it, we're a multi-million dollar corporation with clients in about 13 states, headquartered here in Dallas. I still feel like we're just getting started, especially with the move here to Dallas 2 years ago has really forced us to step up our game a lot over the past 2 years, and that's exactly why we came here. And so that's where we are today, continuing to move onward and upward.
That's exciting. And you guys have locations in Dallas and also in Lafayette, Louisiana, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana, and that's where I was born and raised. And our you know, founding office was, and we still do have a great team there in Louisiana, as well as our team here in Dallas. And you know, it's all one company, it's all one team, and through the miracle of modern technology, we get to see and interact with one another daily. And yeah, you know, we serve a common client base. The majority of our clients are in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. But like I said, you know, we have, you know, with the way IT works, you know, so much can be done remotely that, you know, we certainly have clients, I believe, that's in 13 states today.
That's exciting. That's exciting to hear. Well, what would you say, Taylor, is the most exciting thing to you about your business right now?
I think, you know, I'll speak on behalf of myself, but I believe I can speak on the behalf of my entire team. We see our company having a strong business impact in our clients' companies today. So, you know, our company is growing, obviously, as I've said, and we're adding team members and adding clients and adding team members and adding clients, and that's electric energy that we get to be a part of. It's amazing. But what's also really cool is we have this scientific approach that's what we call the Velo method that we use to manage IT within our client companies. And our clients, when we apply this scientific, precise management of IT for our clients, they immediately start to generate from all of these efficiencies, right? And then we get to pump the energy that we have into our clients' companies. We get to help them be more efficient and more effective with the resources they already have, and get to watch our clients really scale. Now, I think, you know, here we are at this point, like in, if you look at it from a macroeconomic perspective, our country is really in a state right now of economic growth, obviously. And right. To be part of our clients taking advantage of the growth that is in front of them and the opportunities that are in front of them, I mean, that's what's really most exciting to us right now, is we get to see our client base growing. You know, being from South Louisiana and growing up in an oil field family, I know all too well feast versus famine, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the move to Dallas has really diversified our client base some. That said, we're still heavily focused and very effective on our clients in the oil and gas and the energy services industry. But, you know, we've been able to be a part of this economic cycle that we're a part of, and our company is benefiting, our clients are benefiting, and we're really able to pump some serious efficiency into our clients' companies. And you know, just as exciting as it is for us to bring on a new team member here, I feel like we get just as excited when we see our clients bringing on new team members as well as they scale. That's what's really fun to be a part of right now.
That's exciting. Yes, absolutely. Another question I wanted to ask you is just kind of looking through your website, you have your values listed as you grow, which is great. We've got what we call our core values as well. So you have five, it looks like: obsession, persistence, discipline, impact, and reward. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely correct.
When did you guys start your core values? I know you've been in business for, you know, like you said, 11 years, but as you started growing, you probably, you know, we're kind of in the point right now where we have our core values, but we've got, you know, a smaller team. So it's kind of, you know, we talk about company culture and stuff like that, but still,
right.
You know, when, so if you could, yeah, just explain a little bit on your values.
No, I love that question. That's great. You know, it's interesting. I think as companies scale, you know, they all start as an idea, right? Mm-hmm. And you have an entrepreneur that has a vision, that has an idea, and they want to execute upon that. But then, you know, as you start to build, dare I say, a real company, right, you have employees, right, and you have staff, and you have more clients, and you cover more geography or whatever it might be. And as you're scaling, you realize that culture isn't just what the entrepreneur's vision and how your team, your staff attaches to that, right? But it has to be something so much more intentional than that. Culture is something that will indeed create itself. And most of the time I've seen that be a negative thing. And so I really strongly believe that an organization's culture is dependent upon the leaders of that organization coming together, adopting a true on paper set of core values and driving those values into the organization every day. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of maybe said it earlier, we didn't have these core values day one. We maybe jotted down some core values at some time, but they definitely weren't these, and they definitely weren't pushed intentionally into the organization, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we sat down, this was 3 years ago now, maybe 4 years ago now, and said, yeah, it was about 4 years ago now, we sat down, and me and my wife, who has worked for me and helped us build this business, and then a few of our key team members sat down and said, okay, we want to get this core values thing figured out, because as we're scaling, we're realizing, oh, why are we doing what we're doing? You know, it's one thing to do good work, but when you do good work on purpose for a purpose, it's so much more impactful.
Right.
And so what we did is we said, okay, we've got to adopt these some values. And so, you know, we basically just sat down and said, well, you know, obsession, right? We're just completely fanatical about serving our clients. And we give our employees examples of this all the time, and we'll call people out for what we call going too far.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
We have
permission in our organization to go too far,
okay,
right? To do too much, to go the extra mile. And in fact, it'll be celebrated when you do so, because we're obsessed about our client success. I mean, back to what we said about what's exciting in our organization today, I think a lot of that comes back to that we are obsessed with our clients being successful and watching our clients grow and getting to play a part in that, you know. And then same thing, you know, with persistence, like coming through and saying, you know, persistence is something that I have to remind myself of all the time. I mean, as an entrepreneur, Brad, you get this. I mean, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's downright just a pain. And so you want to, you know, it would be so easy to just throw in the towel sometimes. But sometimes, no, you put the towel aside, lean into it, and let's roll. Right. And that's what that persistence is about. And then having discipline, right? So this is something where in our industry, we see a huge lack of discipline in the IT services space. IT services is a professional service, just the same as is a CPA's service or something similar. The big difference is CPAs have licensure and regulation, and it's a much more mature industry, and thus there's a lot more discipline that surrounds it. Any guy who knows how to work a computer can tomorrow start an IT services, quote-unquote, company, right?
Right, right.
But it's the discipline around building what we're building and having a process and being accountable. That discipline is what will set us apart from our competition, right? Both from a technical discipline and from a professional discipline perspective. And then, you know, so let's see, the last two, I said obsession, persistence, impact, and reward, right? So impact. I mean, this kind of goes to we've got to be impactful. If we're not having a positive impact on those around us, right? And it's not just our clients. It's also about our coworkers. It's also about our families and our friends, you know, our community groups, our churches, right? We want to have an impact on those groups that we're a part of, and we want to have this strong positive impact. And kind of dovetailing into that reward, right? I mean, ultimately, this is not a nonprofit corporation. We're here to make money.
Right.
And
right.
But the real thing is, you know, money, you know, without having something to do with it is entirely useless, you know. So a lot of the money we make around here, we pour right back into the company to help it to continue to scale and grow. But then some of that money, you know, what else can we do with that? Well, we can reward our team members. We can reward our clients with special things. And reward our communities that we're a part of with our profits, right? And I think that's just really important.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, and it also says on your website, built to serve at the heart of our company culture is a concept of servant leadership. So that really stood out to me. I really like that as well. So
that's right. That's right. That's very true. Yeah.
Great. Well, Taylor, what kind of moving on, what would you say is the kind of the best business advice that you've received, or, you know, some of the top business advice that you've received?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. You know, I mentioned earlier, I started this business as a senior in high school, which was, I look back at it now, well, I just had no idea what I was doing. That's the only reason I was able to do it. I had no fears.
Right.
I had no perspective.
Right.
But anyway, when I did that, I applied for a scholarship. It was the McKelvey Entrepreneurial Scholarship, and it was a scholarship foundation that was founded by the late Andrew McKelvey, who was the founder and CEO of Monster.com back in the heyday.
Okay.
And I had a very fortunate and unique opportunity to connect personally with Andy for, you know, probably the year, I guess, before he passed away.
Wow.
And, you know, Andy had built, I guess it was, you know, at its peak before he left, before he left for health reasons, right? When he left, I think the company was, you know, he had a market cap of about $5.5 billion.
Okay.
And so, you know, this is a guy that's a multi-billionaire, a self-made man. And so purely from a business perspective, you know, he knew how to build and how to scale an organization. And what was interesting is one thing he always told me was, he said, Taylor, the secret to success is timing. The secret to success is timing.
That's good.
And at the time, as a young kid, I was like, okay, so you got to be in the right place at the right time. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, man, you had a dot-com company in the late 90s that was actually a real company, not just a website.
Right. Right.
With actual revenues and profits. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, he goes through dot-com boom and then bust. But even after the bubble burst, you know, he still has a very profitable, reputable company and maintains its value, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's easy for you to say because look at your timing. But then I realized what he was saying. And what he was saying is that the secret to success is timing. It's not just about chance. It's not about coincidence, right? It's about charting your course, being aware of your marketplace, and putting your ship in the right seas at the right time.
Right.
And I think that's something that any entrepreneur can do, right? An entrepreneur that's passionate and understanding and aware of the industry that they're in, they can put their company, their teams in the right place at the right time to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of them. And so the secret to success is timing. That was one thing that Andy told me many times over just several different calls and face-to-face interactions that we had, and it's always stuck with me. And just it was impactful. Yeah,
that's great. What a wonderful opportunity to be. Yeah, I guess mentored by someone like him.
No doubt. It was certainly a unique opportunity that I'll never forget.
That's awesome. Well, one thing you mentioned before we started the podcast on the call, before we started, you mentioned that you take your leadership team through a book. I guess is that. Monthly, quarterly. Can you share a little bit about that, some of the books that you recommend also to our listeners?
Yeah. No, that's great. I think, you know, reading is key. As an entrepreneur, as a CEO, as a business leader, you've got to constantly quench your thirst for knowledge. Like, I think that is one thing that has maybe set me apart from some of my peers, is that my mind is never full. My mind is always thirsty for more and always looking to learn something new, right? And, you know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've read tons of books. I'm in my office right now in downtown Dallas. I'm looking at my bookshelf, and I've got some of my favorite books here. I've got bookshelves at home full of books. I love to read and to learn, right?
Yep.
I think, you know, to our leadership team, something that we just started here is that we've kind of a little bit more formally, as our company has scaled. Our company still today is very flat, right? I'm the leader. Most people in the organization report to me. So we're, you know, as we're scaling, we're starting to figure this out, who's going to be in these leadership roles. And so we've somewhat formally, you know, started to assemble our leadership team. And we're going through Vern Harnish's book, Scaling Up, the 2.0 of Master the Rockefeller Habits. And just a great book and an exercise, you know, really in scaling an organization, right? I mean, the homework from this book will take us years and years to complete, right? And the discipline that we will have to develop in order to achieve these Rockefeller habits, if you will really be a challenge that we've put in front of myself and our entire leadership team. And so, you know, yeah, I think reading, you know, having a lot of books to go through is great, and you want to learn, but you want to be challenged, right? At the same time, like I have another mentor that I've had, again, had a couple of face-to-face interactions with him, and he was a client of mine for a brief period, is Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone is a big sales coach.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, Grant, well, you want to talk about exciting, Grant's got some energy.
Yeah, he does.
So Grant's awesome, man. Grant is awesome. Grant is indeed the real deal, as he's doing his little Instagram thing right now. His social media call outs. Grant is the real deal. I've seen it firsthand over a period of a couple of years that I got to work with him and his team. And so I've read all of Grant's books, but I will say that, his book 10X Rule, right? About, you know, ultimately, if I could put it into one sentence, it's about taking massive action in order to achieve the success that we all deserve, right? I think that's huge, right? I mean, indeed, you have to take massive action to achieve success. Where all of us, no matter what industry you're in, it's a very competitive marketplace, right? And it's not, you know, if you look historically, there used to be companies that just completely dominated marketplaces. Well, you still have that today, for sure, but you have less and less and less of it.
Yep.
Whether it's IT services or if you're Grant Cardone doing sales coaching, yeah, sure. Grant's a dominant force in the sales coaching, the training space, right, and does a great job at it. In my opinion, the best.
Yep.
But maybe I'm a little biased, but right. I think he's the best, right?
Yeah.
But you look at Grant, man, how many people are doing sales training, right? Tons of them. You know, so people go work for Grant, then they go try and do sales training on their own because he's so good at it, right?
Right.
But there's just so many people that do sales training. And but anyway, yeah, you know, so we're doing scaling up right now as a leadership team. 10X Rule is awesome, and all of Grant's books are really great. And then also, you know, I don't know, there's a, you know, Good to Great, I think, is another one, right? Jim Collins, Good to Great, great book, really puts – I think that you read that, and then you go into your study of scaling up as an entrepreneur, and that's how I think if you follow, if you can develop the principles and the disciplines in those books, throw in Grant Cardone's massive action mentality, super electric energy that Grant provides, man, get out of the way because you're going to build a hell of a company.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. What about podcasts? I know you said you have a few that you listen to regularly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've never been a big podcasting guy, but what I will say is that I'm always pleasantly surprised when I look into podcasts, right? So as an entrepreneur, I've been doing this about 11 years. I'm building a business of some more serious substance. And, you know, as a consequence, I'm starting to build and build my own personal balance sheet, right? And as a result, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm starting to make some money. Where should I invest it? Well, a lot of the money that I make is going back into building the company, right? But then some of it's like, you know, I might want to do other things with my money, right? And so I started thinking a lot about real estate investing and all the different types of real estate investing. And it's like Bigger Pockets is a podcast that I listen to. And, you know, a lot of their stuff about real estate investing and things of that nature, and they've got a great following. That's a pretty good podcast. But then also just I'm always looking for leadership advice because I think that any entrepreneur, as they scale a company, they're going to run into certain spots where, you know what, the most important thing that they can do is lead their team. It doesn't matter, you know, if you started a business as a marketing guru or a IT technician or a plumber, it doesn't matter. If you scale your company, it's no longer your plumbing skills, your marketing prowess, or your IT technical ability that's going to scale your company. it's you as a leader that's going to scale your company. So I'm always thirsty to learn more about leadership. And interestingly enough, you know, like my pastor here in Dallas at the church that my wife, my kids, and I attend, Fellowship Church, Ed Young does
Ed
a
Young. Yeah, I've been
yeah,
to
yeah.
his
Ed Young does
B3 conferences yeah. in the past. Yeah,
C3 conference is amazing. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. C3 is unbelievable. I went to C3 this past year. In fact, I volunteer up there on the production team.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the most rewarding things I do, because I get to learn from Ed every weekend, and at events like C3, I get to learn from the other leaders that he brings in. But what I've learned too is that Ed has done a podcast called Leadership Uncensored. It was a great, you know, it was a podcast he did, maybe somewhat more aimed at church leaders that he mentors, right? But he has done this podcast, and I realize, and if you ever go as a business leader, if you ever have an opportunity to go to C3 conference, it's worth it. It's worth the time that you'll spend going to the conference. And yes, it's church leaders talking about church leadership. But what you'll learn real quick is that all of the issues that they're dealing with in church leadership are the exact same issues that we deal with running a business outside of the church, right?
Right.
And what's interesting is that their perspective is different from the perspective that we get in the, I guess, if you'll secular, if you will, world, right? In the corporate world.
Right.
In the corporate world, you know, there's a lot of perspective, and there's a lot of people out there, influencers, bloggers, podcasts, books, whatever, that are going to tell you about leadership. But I found it really refreshing and extremely effective to learn leadership principles from places that aren't so obvious, like the church, for example, and there are probably many other examples.
Yeah.
But learning leadership principles there that I can immediately turn around and apply in my business have already paid massive, massive dividends.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I definitely highly recommend the C3 conference as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're, I would even go as far to say whether you're a believer, a non-believer, whether you are involved in church or never want to be involved in church, it's a great environment to go and learn about leadership.
Yep. And just the things they do are so creative and cutting edge that,
yes.
Yeah,
yes. You can't help but stimulate your mind there.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Exactly. Well, Taylor, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything we missed that you want to share with our listeners?
No. I feel like I could go on and on for hours and hours about my business and the things that we're working on, about entrepreneurship. You know, it's definitely a calling that has been placed on me to lead organizations and lead companies and build these things. And it's just so incredibly rewarding, right? I mean, even in times when, you know, it's not even necessarily about money, though that is certainly our measuring stick in any, you know, corporate industry, right? I mean, that's our measuring stick. But, man, it's about the impact we have on people's lives. So, I mean, I understand that. I think we have, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and business leaders that listen to your podcast. And I would just say that as a young entrepreneur, what I have learned over the past 10 years, 11 years, is you know, man, invest in your people, right? Invest in your team. I think that's the biggest thing that, and I've you know, it's one thing to say that, it's a whole nother thing to think that you're doing that, but it's a whole nother thing to be, to really put that into action and investing in your people.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you again. And you can find Taylor Toss at it's velomethod.com, and it's V-E as in Edward, L-O-M-E-T-H-O-D.com. Anywhere else you'd encourage people, Taylor, to find you on social media or anything like that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Taylor Toss, Facebook Taylor at Taylor Toss as well.
Okay.
And yeah, you can definitely follow me on those outlets for sure.
Perfect. And that's Taylor Toss, T-O-C-E. So, well, Taylor, thanks again for being on, and join us for our next edition of Create the Movement podcast. Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.